Well, grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Our world is full of greed. You come on up and help me. That's fine. Won't bother me. Our world is full of greed. There are all kinds of schemes to get rich fast. There are many who play the lottery trying to get rich fast. People make decisions on based on what they can gain with no concern of how it might hurt others. People steal because of greed. People use people because of greed. People lie and cheat because of greed. It could be they lie and cheat on their taxes, or they lie or cheat on their spouse. Think of the scams out there right now to try to get your money. How many texts and calls and emails and different scams trying to get you to give them their money, whether they say they're from your bank or from Amazon or from some company you don't even have. And most of these tend to attack the senior population. Greed has a way of turning us into someone else. Our greed could be money, food, time. The list could go on and on. When we hoard something for ourselves, that is greed. Today, Jesus is going to help us to see our need to watch out for all kinds of greed. In Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 13, "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?' And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness,'" or greed, "'for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses.' Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, 'I'll do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be by which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and not rich toward God." Let's pray. Lord, we do just thank you for this day. We thank you for this passage, and I pray that you would speak to our hearts through it, that we would hear what you would have to say for us today. I pray now that I would sit down and that you would stand up, and I pray, awesome Father, that you would move as only you can. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. So what we see taking place here is one brother comes to Jesus to settle a dispute over his inheritance. Now, it was probably the younger brother, and he comes before Jesus saying, "Hey, tell my brother to divide the inheritance." The way it worked is, say the dad had two sons. Well, the property would be divided into thirds. It wasn't half to one son and half to the other. The oldest got two-thirds, and the youngest got one-third. Often in that culture, over disputes like this, they would go to a local rabbi to help settle the disputes. So coming to Jesus, you know, it shows that he saw Jesus as a rabbi or as a teacher. But by Jesus' response, that we see that the brother wasn't worried about justice. He was wanting his stuff. He's like, "I want my stuff." As we think about this, in order for the inheritance to be divided, the father had to have died. You don't just divide the inheritance before the father would pass away. So here we have the father has passed away, and one comes to Jesus and says, "I want my stuff." We see no hurt for the loss of the father from the one asking Jesus. Instead, we simply see the desire to get what's coming to him. Sadly, we see things like this all the time when people pass away. Families can fight over the stuff that a loved one left behind. We can be more concerned about the will and what I get than if they knew Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. I have seen families after families fighting after funerals over stuff. I have seen families broken and divided over stuff. And it's like we're more concerned about what we get when someone dies than what really matters. And that is, did they know Jesus? The one who asked Jesus to judge was not looking for what was right. He was displaying greed. And Jesus says, watch out for greed. As again, it says, one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And then he said to them, "Take heed and beware of all kinds of greed." And so as we look at this, once again, we see Jesus using what was happening around him to teach a lesson. We've been seeing that through this series, that Jesus would take what was happening and he would use that to teach a lesson of a deeper or more profound meaning. The lesson that he was teaching was a lesson that the people there needed to hear. And what is awesome is the lessons that Jesus taught in his day are lessons that we still need to hear today. The lessons are not always easy to hear, but they are given to us in order to help us grow into the men and women that God has called us to be. And so he warns, watch out and be on guard against every form of greed. By Jesus saying this, it helps us to see that the one asking Jesus to judge had motives that were not pure. One pastor says it is about greed. This is how he defines greed. He says it's when the material takes priority over the spiritual. That's what greed is. When the material takes priority over the spiritual. Jesus was not going to make a decision about how the stuff should be split, but instead he takes the chance to put stuff in its proper place. You shouldn't be worried about stuff. You should be worried about people. He says, watch out, for life is not about what we have. I love what Jesus says next. He says, one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. How often in our world today do we think that we are defined by the stuff we have? I have the biggest house or the best car or the best computer or the best phone or the best this or the best that. And when somebody gets this, oh no, I need to go get that now. And it comes with trying to one up one another. And Jesus is saying it's not about the stuff. We can spend so much time gathering stuff that we can allow the desire for stuff to take control of our lives. Life is not about the things that we have. We don't always need the next best thing. Now, we do have to be careful because the text doesn't say we can't have nice things. There's nothing in the text that says if you have nice things, that's bad. No, that's not what the text is teaching us at all. There's nothing wrong with having nice things unless having nice things is what drives you. If you are driven by having nice things, that's when it becomes greed. That's when it becomes a problem. If I spend more time trying to get stuff than I do on my walk with Christ, that's when I need help. If all of my time and my attention is based on trying to get stuff, trying to get new things, trying to get better things, then I have lost my focus on Jesus Christ. And with that, I ask a very difficult question. Do we spend as much time working on our spiritual riches as we do our earthly riches? Do we spend as much time working on our spiritual riches as we do our earthly riches? And as we think about this, how do we show greed in the church? Jesus says, watch out for greed. So I want to talk about a few ways that churches can display greed, because as the people of God, we should not have any greed in us whatsoever. One is we can show greed in how we give our money. Sometimes we can designate our money for the wrong reasons. Well, I don't believe in what the church is doing, so I'm going to designate my money and give it to something that's not even being used right now so the church can't touch it. That is greed. We can show greed in the things that we say. Well, I hope that person never leaves the church because they're a good tither. So God can't provide? That person's the only one that can provide for the church. God can't? That is a form of greed. We don't want them to leave because of what they give, not because of what's happened or what's going on. We can show greed based on how we cater to people based on what they give. You know, there are some churches that require you to show a copy of your taxes or your pay stub, and they make sure you give what's there. I got to be careful how I say this. I care about what you give, but I don't care about what you give. Let me explain. I do care because I believe the Bible says we're supposed to give 10%, and I want you to give because you obey what God has said. I don't care in the sense that I don't know what you give, and I don't need to know what you give, and what you give won't change the way I think about you or feel about you. If you tell me this morning I don't give a dime to the church, that's wrong biblically, but I'm not going to think any less of you, and because that's the way it should be. But sometimes we can cater to people based on what they give. Well, this person gives more, so I'm going to befriend them and make sure I have the best relationship with them. We can show greed by looking down on people based on what they give. Well, I give more than so-and-so. Well, and I hear this a lot, and yes, sometimes this is true, but not always. Well, the older generation gives more than the younger generation. Is that really something we should be saying to one another? No. Should we be competing over who gives the most? Because we're supposed to be given from our heart, not as a competition. When it becomes about what we give, that's when it becomes about greed. When it comes about, look at me. Well, another way that we can show greed is by robbing God with our giving. And one of the hardest passages in Scripture when it comes to giving comes out of Malachi chapter 3, where it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you said, how have we robbed you? In tithes and contributions." The word tithe literally means tenth. So, "You are cursed with the curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and empty out the blessings until it is beyond enough." So when we don't give 10%, when we don't give our tithe, that is a form of greed because we are actually robbing God. And people are saying, 10%, that's a lot. Well, he lets us keep 90%. 100% belongs to him. 100% of everything that well, God doesn't care about our money. Then why does the scripture talk about it so much? The topic of money comes up a lot in scripture. The topic of stuff and things comes up in Scripture. And so we can show greed in this. Another way, we can show greed in how we give our time to the work of God and others. We can be greedy with our time. Well, I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to work at the church. I don't have time to do this. We can hoard our time and not serve God and serve others. We cannot let greed rule our lives or the church. As the people of God, we need to be humble and giving. In order to further illustrate his point, Jesus teaches a parable. He says in verse 16, he says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." So Jesus uses a parable. Now, parables are stories that Jesus would use in order to get a point across. The parables usually had one main point, and then sometimes it would have sub-points. But pretty much every single parable that we see in Scripture, there's one main lesson, one main point that Jesus is trying to get across. And here the main point is greed. He is teaching the dangers of greed and how Christians should not be people of greed. Jesus tells the parable of a farmer who had a good crop year. He had a bumper crop. And I think every single farmer in here would love to have a bumper crop every year. There's nothing wrong when a farmer does well. Again, when we look at this parable, there is absolutely nothing in the text that says it's wrong for a farmer to have a bumper crop. There's nothing wrong with a farmer to have high yields. That's a good thing. In all honesty, you and I should be praying that each farmer would have bumper crops every year, because we all benefit when farmers do well. And so we should be praying that farmers do well. This parable shows us that the crop was so good. Man, Tony, I bet you'd love this to happen. The crop was so good, he had to tear the barns down, build new ones just to store it all. That's a crop. That would be awesome. And again, nothing wrong with that. But here's where the problem comes. And he decides to keep it all to himself. He stores up his crops, enough for many years, and he thinks, you know what? I'm just going to step back, retire, take it easy, and do nothing for the rest of my life and live on what I've gathered. And God says, no, you're going to die tonight. And someone else is going to get your goods. And Jesus says, this is the way it is when we care more about stuff than people. And what we see is the farmer is blessed, but he does not bless. It's not that he saved up for the future. It's clear from the text that the problem is that he was focused on himself. There's nothing wrong with preparing for the future. There's nothing wrong with putting a little back. There's nothing wrong with saving a little bit of money. Greed is when it becomes all about you. One commentary says, the simple parable Jesus told describes a person who is solely concerned with himself, his welfare, pleasure, and security. He possessed no gratitude toward God or a willingness to share with those less fortunate. His ingratitude invoked God's anger and led to the man's downfall. As we look at the problem, it's not because of his wealth. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having wealth. The problem was the focus on himself. We see no focus on God. We see no focus on people. The Bible tells us that we are to love God and love people, and here we see neither. If you look at verses 17 through 19, the farmer says the word I six times and my four times. So 10 times in those verses, he is focusing on himself. I, my harvest, my crops, my goods, my barns, that type of thing. Which helps us to see it's all about greed. It is not wrong to be smart and save, but it is wrong if we do not ever try to help others. If we have access, if we have been blessed by God, and we have access, we're not supposed to store it up and never use it. If we just store it up and save for ourselves and never seek to be the hands and feet of Jesus, then we, like the farmer in this parable, have a greed problem. If we say, well, let's just put it in the bank, let's save it, let's store it, let's never use it, we're hoarding. And that's greed. How many poor and needy people could the farmer have helped with his excess? How could he have helped many people and still had enough for himself? How many lives could he have invested in with the crop that he had? How many poor people could he have filled and been blessed beyond measure by God? But instead, he keeps it all to himself. And when we are blessed by God, we should bless others. When God blesses us, we should bless others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul writes, on the first day of every week, each one of you is to set something aside, saving whatever he has prospered, so that no collection be made when I come. Now, the context of this is Paul is closing out his first letter to the Corinthians, and he is getting ready to take a donation to the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem, there were people that were struggling. There was poverty. And so Paul was collecting money from all the Gentile churches to take to the Jews. And the Corinthians had agreed to take part in this. They had agreed to give. So what Paul tells them is take up an offering every Sunday based on how God has blessed you. He doesn't say give $500 every week. He doesn't say give $5 every week. He says give every week based on how God has blessed you, based on how you have been blessed by God. And then Paul, in his second letter to Corinthians in chapter 9, verse 7, he says, each one of you must do just as he has proposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. When we give to the church, we should give because we want to, not because we have to. A pastor should never have to preach on the importance of tithing. Because here's the truth. If every single church member gave the tithe like the Bible commands, the church would never have need for anything. We would never have to worry about saving money. We would never have to worry about having designated funds. Because if every church member gave how the Bible says, we would never have an issue. We'd never have a problem. And we'd always be able to do whatever God called us to do. But the reasons why churches struggle, the reasons why churches struggle financially, there's two reasons why churches struggle financially. One, the people don't tithe like they're supposed to. Two, churches get greedy with their money and hoard it. When we are blessed by God, we have the joy of sharing that blessing with others. That includes our money. We should, when God blesses us financially, we should bless others financially. This includes our spiritual gifts. On Wednesday nights, we've just talked about our spiritual gifts. If you're a child of God, you have a spiritual gift. And we are to use those spiritual gifts. And when we do not use the gifts that God has given us, when we are not serving in the church, you know, that's a form of greed. Because we are hoarding our giftedness. Because God has gifted every single believer with a spiritual gift that is to be used to serve Him in His kingdom. And when we are not using our spiritual gifts, we're hoarding them for ourselves. This also includes our time. We can hoard our time. We can be greedy when it comes to our time. Life is not about what we possess, but the one who possesses us. Life is about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's about the one who gave His life for us. Jesus gave up His life. This is the opposite of greed. Because He gave up His life, we have life. And we are to live the life for Jesus and not for ourselves. When it becomes about us, it becomes greed. Then Jesus gives a grim warning to those who are controlled by greed. In these last two verses, He says, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. First of all, the word fool in Scripture doesn't mean what it means today. When we call somebody a fool today, it usually means they're dumb. In Scripture times, it meant someone who disobeyed God, who didn't follow God or respect Him. And so what we see is it was all about himself. The farmer who stored up all these things, who stored up all his crops for himself, was going to die that night. Hear this. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, hear this. All the money in the world cannot help you when you stand before a holy God. All the things and stuff in the world cannot help you when you stand before a holy God. And when we stand before a holy God, we are going to have to give an account. And I might get in trouble. That's okay, because for some reason, I feel I need to say this. So get ready, some of you, to throw something at me, and that's okay. When we stand before God as a church, He's not going to ask how much money we have in a building fund. He's going to ask how many lost people we reach with the message of Jesus Christ. He's not going to ask how much we stored up for over 20 years and never did anything with it. That's greed. That's hoarding. He's not going to ask that. He's going to ask, why didn't you use this for my glory, for my kingdom, for the building up? Why are you not using this to reach lost people with the message of Jesus Christ? We say we don't have money to do that. We have plenty of money. We've just hoarded it for ourselves. And we wonder why God doesn't bless. If we are not faithful with what God has given us, He's not going to give us more. There's a parable about that. It's called the parable of the 10 talents. If we've got money sitting in our checking accounts that we're doing absolutely nothing with ever, is that being faithful to God? Is that being faithful to the people that have graciously given? That's greed. Because we're storing it for ourselves. Well, I gave that money. Well, once you give it, you ain't got no control over it no more. Well, God doesn't care about our money. Yeah, He does. When you give to the church, and here's something. This is something that I'm kind of big on, but that's okay. If you can't trust the church to be faithful with what God has given, then why are you here? If we have to designate our money so it's used for what we want it to be used for, that means we don't trust the people who's making the decisions to do the right thing. God says, tonight, all this that you've stored up. Because here's something to think about. Some of the money that was donated to the building fund, how many people that donated is actually going to see it used for something? Because over half of them have already went on to be with the Lord. What does all the money in the world do if you die without Jesus Christ? If you have the biggest bank account in the world, what good is that if you don't know Jesus? If you have the biggest house in the world, the greatest car, what good is that if you don't know Jesus? What good is having all this excess money if people around us are still dying and going to hell while we do absolutely nothing about it? The farmer planned for everything but his death. Have you planned for eternity? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you given your heart and your life to Him? Jesus said, someone else will enjoy His stuff. And then He says, be rich toward God. The very last verse. So he is who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We are to be rich toward God. One study Bible explains being rich toward God this way. It says, being rich toward God means living to glorify God and investing our earthly assets to make an eternal difference. So when we as a church use our earthly assets to make an eternal difference, that's when we're rich towards God. We have to be careful that we do not trust stuff over God. Our riches can be taken from us at any time. And as we see in this passage, so can our life. What lessons can we learn from this parable taught by Jesus? First of all, we learn that money isn't everything. Often we think money is the currency of life. No, Jesus is. Second, we can't take it with us when we go. We see that in the parable. He stored up all this stuff and he's going to die that very night and he don't get to take none of it with him. So when we go home to be with the Lord, we don't take any of our stuff with us. The other thing we see is we need to help others around us. And the last thing that we see is we should not hoard stuff. We should not hoard things. When we are blessed by God, we are blessed to give. And when we give, we are blessed by God. It's a never-ending cycle. When God blesses us, we are to bless others. When we bless others, God blesses us. Then we bless others, and God blesses us. And it's a never-ending, awesome, wonderful cycle. It is great when we get to be blessed by God and when we get to be a blessing. Now, our focus in giving should not be to be blessed by God. We should give naturally because we have been blessed by God. And again, it's not always just about money. It can be about our time. It can be about our talents. As one pastor always says, it's about our time, talents, and treasures. Because all of us have time, talents, and treasures, and we are to use those to build up the kingdom of God and to be used by Him and for Him. A man comes to Jesus wanting to get his inheritance, and instead of Jesus judging on the case, Jesus takes the time to show him and the people around that things are not everything. Things is not always a bad thing. But eternity is so much better. Do we spend as much time getting ready for eternity as we do retirement? Do we spend as much time planning and preparing for eternity as we do planning and preparing for a retirement? What is God saying to us today? First of all, do we give our time, talents, and treasure to the Lord as we should? Are we given our tithe? Are we given our time? Are we given our talents to serve God? Because every single one of us is gifted in some way. And that's the beauty. Once we give our heart and our life to Christ, we are given a spiritual gift. And we are to use those spiritual gifts to enhance the kingdom of God. And what is incredible is God gives different members different gifts so that we're able to work together. Because there's things that y'all can do that I can't, and vice versa. Now, I don't say this to be cruel, but there's some that we don't want to get up here singing or leading the choir. Not everybody's a gifted musician. Not everybody's a gifted singer. And that's okay. We don't want everybody teaching. Just like you don't want everybody being the... There's some people you don't want messing with the books. Not because they're a bad person. God has gifted each of us differently. And we are to use those gifts to honor and glorify God. So do we use our time, talents, and treasures to the Lord? Second, do we hoard stuff? And third, do we seek to bless others based on how God has blessed us? After all, we have been blessed beyond measure. We can never, ever outgive God. He gave His life. He gave His time. He gave His all. We can never outgive God, no matter how hard we try. Lord, I thank You for this hard but powerful passage through the message and the teachings of Jesus Christ on how Christians should deal with things, with stuff, whether it's money or just things that we hoard. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us to be a church that is faithful to You. I pray that we would use the gifts that You have given us to bring honor and glory to Your name. I pray that how You have blessed us, we will bless others. And I pray that as we bless, we will continue to be blessed. And I pray, Lord, that You would just move in this church like never before. I pray that we would see lost people come into faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that we would see people baptized. I pray that we would see people given sacrificially, whether it's of their time, whether it's of their talents, whether it's of their treasure. And I pray that we would see this church turned upside down for the message of Jesus Christ. I pray that each and every one of us would step out and give what we have. We think about, I can't give that much. That's okay, because one little boy gave two loaves, gave Two fish and five loaves, and it fed 15 to 20,000 people. So God, no matter what we give, you could take it and turn it into a miracle. And I pray that's what you will do. I pray that each and every one of us would give from our hearts, whether it's our time, whether it's our talents, whether it's our treasures. I pray that each and every one of us would give according to what you lay on our heart, according to how you have blessed us. And I pray that you would take our small gift and turn it into something miraculous. I pray that you would take our small gift and that you would move in your church like never before. I pray that we would be faithful. I pray that we would follow you. I pray that we would be the men and women that you have called us to be. And I pray that you would use us to storm this city and this state and this country and this world with the message of Jesus Christ. I pray that you would bless us beyond measure as we seek to be your hands and feet. I pray that we would obey and step out on faith, trusting you each and every step of the way. And Lord, I do ask that if someone's here that doesn't know you, that they would hear that they need Jesus today, that they would come and surrender their heart and their life to Jesus, that they would cry out for the precious blood of Jesus to take them over, and that they would say yes to you. And Lord, we do just ask that you move as we have this time of invitation. Holy Spirit, come down and speak to each and every one of our hearts. Convict where conviction is needed. Give hope where hope is needed. And move as only you can in this place. Holy Spirit, take over each and every one of us. We thank you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we have our song of invitation.